friendly to interculturale.
Absolut interkulturalis.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show number 90 of Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast where we try to explore different aspects of intercultural communication. My name's Anne Fox, and today's show is coming to you from Denmark. I was very curious to hear about Laurent's trip to Luxembourg in the last show, and I'm looking forward to hearing more from him about it in future German editions of the show. Today, I guess the unifying theme for this show is learning. Firstly, learning by experience. Do you remember this?
I'm immediately making a sweeping generalisation on the fact that it's Western European, and therefore, from a broad business perspective, the cultural differences won't necessarily come into play.
That was Greg Hoof from the UK before starting a consultancy project in Denmark. As we'll hear later, he's now not quite so sure that business practices are pretty universal within Europe. We'll also be hearing about a very simple way of motivating people to improve their English by getting them to talk about aspects of their home culture.
So, the excitement of sharing and knowing, it just makes people feel like, you know, we're closer together and that we're not so different from each other. You know, knowing is not fearing kind of thing. We are more open to each other and less afraid of other cultures and, you know, willing to get to know one another. And I think that's what I like about it.
By the way, if you have any comments or suggestions about this show or suggestions for future shows, then just leave us a comment on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com or send us a mail to the address shown on the blog. We'll start today's show by being absolutely experienced. Remember, we talked to Greg Hoof from the UK earlier in the year when there was a possibility of him getting some consultancy work in Denmark. He was trying to find out his intercultural quotient to see how ready he was to cross borders. Well, he got the project and has been commuting over to Denmark for a couple of months now, so I couldn't resist getting back in touch to see how things were going.
I'm immediately making a sweeping generalisation on the fact that it's Western European and therefore, from a broad business perspective, the cultural differences won't necessarily come into play.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that, and I am sat here with a rather wry smile across my face.
Oh, why is that then?
Because I think we were very surprised about how different the behaviour was and the culture was to anything we would have expected. And, I mean, I've been there now since probably the beginning of June, and we're in the middle of August. And it has coincided clearly with the Danish holiday season, which has meant that not only have a lot of people been away, but those that have been around in the office have basically been in a bit of a sort of end of term mood. So it has been sort of maybe more relaxed than it would have been had I been working at this company sort of during the sort of autumn months or what have you. And so what I found it very surprising, but what I wasn't aware of initially was whether the differences or whether the culture I was experiencing was down to the company or was it down to the society, to Danish working life.
Mm. Have you gone any further on that dilemma?
Oh, all I can say is that instead of it being a sample of one company, I can more or less extend that to a sample of two companies, which is hardly statistically reliable, but hey-ho. And there were similarities. Clearly, there were similarities in terms of the nature of the people, my perception of their attitude to the jobs they were fulfilling and their approach. And yeah, fundamentally, when I think back to what my expectations were, I think it's fair to say that a number of months later, I was fundamentally wrong.
Oh, in what sort of way?
Maybe making a couple of leaps of logic. But I think my experience of the corporate life within the UK was that the majority of people placed their working life very high up on their own sort of personal agendas, and therefore were very focused, therefore displayed some of the positive attitudes, but maybe some of the negative attributes that comes with that, maybe a little bit overly ambitious, maybe displaying an over-eager sense of presenteeism in the office. But there was definitely a culture and an atmosphere of things getting done, people pushing forward, people getting on with stuff. And that, and I'm ending up using lots of cliches, and for that I apologize, but that dynamic culture isn't quite as evident with the company that I spend most of my time with. There are a lot of incredibly capable people who know their sort of areas of expertise inside out. But I think what has been lacking is maybe a combined and a joined up sense of direction that sometimes creates that added energy within a company that, you know, manifests itself by, you know, people coming in. There's been a bit of buzz around the office, and you just know that, you know, whatever's going on, everyone's pulling in the same direction. And it has been very relaxed. And I say, it was always quite interesting trying to take people seriously when they're attending a meeting in their shorts and flip-flops, especially when a rather old-fashioned consultant, as I am, is sat there, admittedly very hot and bothered, in his suit and shirt. So, you know, I'm not sure who's right and who's wrong in that. But I think as a display of a difference in culture, it was very clear. I would say that generally that working life is certainly for a lot of people isn't as important or isn't as high a priority, to a detriment of their personal life, to a detriment of their family life, that it is within the UK. And again, you know, I'm not saying that I'm an expert across the UK. This is all based on the experience of one or two companies. And I think with that, though, means that you sort of, for me as an outsider coming in, initially I found it incredibly frustrating because there were people working to a very different tempo than the one I was expecting. But you then also have to be pragmatic about it. You know, our role was not to change the culture. Our role was to look at other things. And therefore, in answer to an unasked question, would I have prepared any differently, which I think was one of the original sort of tests I think that was applied initially, would I have prepared any differently? Well, the answer is no, because I don't think it would have made much difference. Have there been sort of pragmatic issues that have had to be, you know, addressed? Well, yeah, you know, if you realise that, you know, people are going to start walking out of the building, really, from sort of the first people starting at 3 o'clock, and then sort of 4 o'clock, you are down to, you know, a very small number of people left. Well, you have to sort of make sure that all your meetings are crammed in somewhat earlier in the day and into a shorter period than you would do elsewhere.
So you adapted?
Of course you adapted, yes. Do you feel as though as much work is getting done because of this sense of maybe, let's say, a much healthier work-life balance? Again, the initial feeling is probably not. That's for a company to decide how much it wants to do, what resources are available, and, you know, realistically, if it wants to do more work with the same resources, well, it ain't going to be possible unless they decide to get more people in. Unless, they think they can decide to change the culture, which would be a long and hard slog for any company to change the culture.
So there were some significant differences, things that you had to get used to, things that you had to take into consideration.
Yes.
Would you work in Denmark again on this basis?
Absolutely. There is nothing that was so out of kilter with my own personal preferences or personal sort of way of working, etc., that would prevent me from accepting any other assignments that were taking place in Denmark.
From learning by experience, we'll now hear about learning by sharing. Nelly Deutsch in Israel came up with the very simple idea of inviting people to prepare online presentations about their culture as a way of improving their English. The project is called Storytelling and Cultures, and you can see what goes on and join in yourself by going to their website at http://storytelling-cultures.ning.com. What happens is that once a week, someone volunteers to give an online presentation about some aspect of their culture, and Nelly and her colleagues offer to help the presenter to use PowerPoint and annotate the pictures, and also help with giving the actual presentation itself, which happens in the free tool called WizIQ. This very simple idea turns out to be very powerful and attractive. So let's go absolutely sharing and hear more from Nelly herself.
And this is meant to help people with their English. So how does it work?
Yeah, that's how it started originally. But actually, a lot of people join who are interested in just learning about other cultures. So actually, the content here is the focus. And I think that's to improve your language skills. It's really important to be involved, engaged in what you're doing and you know, in the content, and not just learn for the sake of learning, but enjoy yourself. Most of the participants are language learners, but the participants strive to present. Mm-hmm. The idea is for them to present, and we help them, you know, Google Docs, we help them with the presentations. If they've never done a presentation before, in other words, not just given one, but, you know, used PowerPoint, we help them with that. All they have to do is just gather, you know, photos of what they want to show, and then we help them with the language. They can read it out. In other words, this could be done by a by a beginner, in fact.
Mm.
And it's exciting because, you know, they get excited about, you know, gathering the photos and getting the words together and then having us edit, you know, their English. Because first it's in writing and then they just read it out. Or some of them, you know, have graduated to just speaking spontaneously by just looking at the photos. But there were different levels.
That sounds great that it's so adaptable, actually, to the different levels.
Exactly. That's the point. The point is that anybody can join. But yes, it is. It's for all levels.
And so where did this initiative come from? Is this just a completely private, voluntary initiative, or is there an organization behind it?
Oh, no. It kind of developed from, how did it develop? Let me see. Oh, yeah, I know how it started. It started with storytelling. That's how it started. And the initiative came from, believe it or not, an online course called Online Facilitation
mm-hmm.
with Lee Blackall, I think 2 years ago. I was a participant of the online course, and we all had to give an online presentation. And I came up with, I don't know where in the world I came up with the idea of storytelling. It just, you know, came into my head that I would like to talk about storytelling. And that's how the whole thing started. Storytelling, and then I added, you know, the English, the element of teaching English, because that's what I do.
And can you remember any of the most memorable presentations that you've had? Memorable for whatever reason?
Oh, wow, there were so many. I mean, I can think of the last ones. There was one on Russia that really stayed with me. English teachers also present, but non-native speakers of English. There was one on Yemen, Yemen weddings, which was incredible, by a learner, an English learner. She's become so involved online that she says, you know, that, I don't know, she just seems like a native speaker already.
So do you have regulars?
Oh, yeah. Lots of them. We've got one of our old regular is Aka Ken. I don't know. He's got his real name. That's his. He's very shy. He claims he's shy, but he speaks a lot online. He prefers. He's from Japan, and that he comes to all the sessions. And he claims that his English has really improved. And he's shy, you know, in a face-to-face situation, and online he feels, and his English is really great, he feels very, very uninhibited.
So this is addictive, is it?
Yeah, I think it might be. He's presented, he presented on John Lennon.
Oh, right.
He said that's his culture. So in other words, people can present on their country, they can present on, you know, anything that they find is part of their culture. And we provide guidelines. But the idea is to, I mean, it's beyond English. It's to get people, and that's what they claim to, that they're getting closer.
To each other?
To each other. In other words, not just the regular participants, but even the new participants are finding that they're learning about things they had no idea about, and they feel closer to other countries.
This is obviously beyond the more common tourist book type of content then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The idea is to, because when people talk about their countries and the food or the way of life, and they get very, very excited. You know, it's amazing the excitement when someone presents about their culture.
Mm.
I mean, you can hear it, you know, and it passes through to the participants. So, you know, the excitement of sharing and knowing, it just makes people feel like, you know, we're closer together and that we're not so different from each other. You know, knowing is not fearing kind of thing, where people are more open to each other and less afraid of other cultures and, you know, willing to get to know one another. And I think that's what I like about it.
And that happens even though you're online, so you're not in the same room as each other?
Yes, definitely. I don't think anybody feels that we're not... I mean, we're connected. It's strange, you're right. It is strange when you think of it. But, yeah, there is that sense of presence because it's live.
You'll find links to the Storytelling and Cultures Project on our blog, so you can find out more for yourself. Well, that's it for this show. I'm looking forward to hearing more about the Anna Lynn event in Luxembourg on September the 4th, when Laurent will be hosting the show from Germany. Until then, stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.